Okay. Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you. And you have your Bible, John 3, chapter 3. Let me, this evening I was give you an update on my family, the ministry. My family are a part of Team Southeast Asia. Our team in Cambodia, we have 4 church plants. And we have a Bible college, Bible Institute. We have a video. You can see our bus route. We use a tuk-tuk. Anybody know what a tuk-tuk is? And we pack them up in a tuk-tuk. And so you come this evening. A free advertisement for this evening, amen? And you're going to see our bus route that we use a tuk-tuk that we put like anywhere from 20 to 30, as many as 35 kids and adults in that tuk-tuk. And for people like me, it fit 10 of us American, amen? But, okay, I know I read the Cambodian Bible, Khmer Bible this morning a little bit. But I will read just one verse in case some of you were not hear this earlier. But John chapter 3, because we know verse 16, we'll read verse 15 through verse 19, I'm sorry. Okay, John chapter 3. Okay. So I appreciate you guys listening to me. I'm sorry my English got really bad the last 12 years. I used to speak better, but I did grow up here in America, so I have no excuses. Amen. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Can you guys say world? Okay, good. Thank you. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Okay, let me, I'll just read verse 16 in the Khmer language. Can you guys say Khmer? Okay, good. Hey, you guys did that better than saying my name, amen. So I am very jealous. Okay. So the Cambodian people, our country is called Cambodia. You can call us Cambodian, but the correct term is Khmer. We're the Khmer people, and our language is Khmer. K-H-M-E-R. Okay. Let me read it. But Prathrung Sralang Manus Lok Dalmale Banche Trung Pratien Prarich Botra Trung Tai Mui Dam Bay Aoy Nek Na ដែល ជឿ ដល់ ព្រះ រាជ បុត្រា នោះ មិន ត្រូវ វិនាស ឡើយ គឺ ឲ្យ មាន ជីវិត អស់កល ជនិច វិញ Amen? That's a Cambodian language. I will test you in 5 years. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, this morning I just want to talk to you a little bit about the love of God. I didn't get to do this, but I wanted to show you some picture of different people in different areas of the world. And I just want to remind you that verse 16, for God so loved the world. Okay, let me pray. Father, Lord, I thank you so much again for this opportunity and the privilege of serving you, Lord. And I pray that you help me to say only what you want me to say. Help our hearts to be open to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And please, Father, help me. I pray that I will have the wisdom and have the mind of my Lord Jesus. And I pray your will be done. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let me, I'm sure I forgot to turn the microphone on earlier, but the Bible tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You know, that verse, it really breaks my heart. You know, I want you picture in your mind, really, people are either heading toward hell or heading toward heaven. That's it. That's it. I want you to think about that. There's no middle thing. There's no purgatory. There's no third places. There's no fourth places. You know? Just like our Bible teaches that, you know, for gender, there's man and woman, is it? I cannot believe how crazy our world is getting. It's unbelievable. But at the same time, it breaks my heart. Because even all these people that believe that several hundreds of gender or many genders, they need God. They need God. It breaks my heart. But I want you to picture in your mind that verse. We'll get to verse 16 in a minute, but he that believeth on him, I'm sorry, he that believeth on him is not condemned or sentenced, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So think about it. I want you to picture it. When you and I read our Bible, I am sometimes, you know, I read through the Bible at least 10 times in my Christian life. Read this verse through it many times. Sometimes, you know, every time you read it, something, same thing over, and then God speaks to you another point. So this morning, I just want to share you about the world. God loved the world. But before that, I even think about, he that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You know, when I read that, what I thought about all people are doing, really, people are either heading to heaven or to hell. That's it. That's it. And as you and I know, there's more people that choose, and if they choose a sin, refuse to believe on Lord Jesus Christ, refuse to repent. But the way to damnation, the way to destruction, is very wide. Many more people choose that, and they are condemned already. So I want to remind you, you think about people. Oftentimes, sometimes when we look at people, we don't see them as God sees them. When God looked at people, when Jesus was here on earth, when he saw people, the multitudes, he saw people without a shepherd. He saw people as lost souls, having no one to lead them, to guide them, to tell them the truth, having no one to preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ, having no one to love on them. There's so many people in this world that are like that. And I was like that as a teenager. I didn't think anybody loved me. That's why I was very bitter and angry as a young person. I was bitter because what I went through during the wartime. I was bitter because I was not close to my family. I was bitter because I did not know my father. But when I got saved, I thank God I knew that God loved me. I thank God for that. Thank God for that. Let me go back. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I want you to think about it. People either on the way to hell or on the way to heaven. That's it. There's no other. If people don't get saved in this lifetime, friend, they don't have any more chances. And in the same way, I tell our people many times in Cambodia, you and I, we only have this in this life. We only have this opportunity in this life, in this world, to preach the gospel. Because when you and I die to go to heaven, everybody's saved in heaven. People in heaven don't need the gospel. The lost people in this world need the gospel. People in heaven, they don't need Jesus because they're already there in heaven. We often remind people of that. That's why it's so important for us, so important, friends, for us to give our life to God, to be committed to Him, to obey His commandments, to preach the gospel, to obey the Great Commission, to reach out unto our community. Because once you and I die, there's no more opportunity to witness. No more opportunity to witness in heaven. Okay, everybody's saved in heaven. Okay? Everybody's saved in heaven. But let me, so I want you to think about that condemn, the word condemn. People are either on the way to heaven or hell. That's it. That's it. And when you think about that, friends, what does that do to you? To your heart? When I think about the world, friends, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I want to have a heart like God. He loved the world. He didn't look at us and said, oh, I only love a certain group. I only chose to save some people. Now, the Bible didn't tell us that. God said He loved the world. And 1 Timothy 2:4, God will have all men to be saved. All. And all mean all, friends. Doesn't matter if people that look like me from Southeast Asia, a small country, Cambodia. Doesn't matter people from the Dominica, an island country of the Indian Ocean. People in the Arctic Circle. People in America. People in China. God loved them all. God loved them all because He created them all. He created all human beings. But so the message is the love of God. John 3:16 is the most well-known verse in the Bible. It is brief and to the point. Jesus revealed the great love of God. It has long been celebrated as a powerful declaration of the gospel. Before I get into the message, I read this in the commentary. The seven wonders in John 3:16. Number one, God, the almighty authority. Two, so loved the world, the mightiest motive. He loved the world. Three, that He gave His only begotten Son, the greatest gift. The greatest gift that God gave to us human beings, He gave His Son to die on the cross for us. Think about that. That's why nothing is too much to give up for God. For God, He gave His Son to die on the cross for our sin. Think about it. Like I mentioned in Sunday school, I was, because of me coming from a poor country, I knew what it was to go hungry. I knew what it was to be starving. I seen people drinking their own urine. I seen for myself, my family, just eating whatever you can find during that wartime, 1975-79. And to come to America where we have so much. And I thank God for America. Don't get me wrong. But I will remind you that so many people in this world that don't have much at all. Have nothing at all. Nothing. People in third world country. People in Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Africa. Okay, so many people in this world. But let me go on. God gave us the greatest gift. He gave us his son to die on the cross for the whole world. For that whosoever, the widest welcome. Whosoever, whoever you are. You are a young person that you feel unloved. I was like that. Until I, as a teenager, because I was bitter and angry, was not close to my mom. The reason I was not close with, in the Cambodian culture, the parents, they don't tell the kids they love them, or they don't show affection at all. They don't express it, and they don't show it. That's part of Asian culture. It's just very evil. They don't praise this kid. They don't hug the kids. They don't tell the kids they love them. My mom loved me, but because that's part of the culture, I felt hated. Felt hated. But I remind you, God, with God, that whosoever. That whosoever. God welcome whoever believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never say you no. Will tell you no. I thank God for that. I was evil as a, because I, you know, just to testify to Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 21, and Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, God put it in our heart that we know in our heart there is a God, created God. I knew that as a teenager. I didn't have anyone to show me from the Bible, to witness to me, but when I was down on myself, I felt hated, rejected, unloved, and I started thinking about God. God started working my heart, and I started thinking, is there a God up there? And in my heart, I confess, I admit, say, there's a creator God who has power. When I look up in the sky, I realize they're a creator God. And our book, the book of Romans, teaches that. Everybody knows there's a God. Trust me, kids, they're not atheists. You tell kids that God loved them, they tell you that they believe in God. People become atheists because they've been, you know, indoctrinated so many times. There's no God. They start believing like that. But myself, I can testify to that. In my heart, nobody showed me from the Bible about Jesus Christ. And I was not in church this time. But I knew that up in the sky, there's created God. I acknowledged God. There's a couple of times I cursed God by my sin. Because I blamed God. I said, I am not proud of it at all. I cursed God, actually, a couple of times. I blamed God for a lot of things and bad things in my life. But at the same time, I realized there is a God up in the sky. Did not know about heaven or hell. I just knew there's a creator God who created everything. This everything around me does not just happen. I knew that in my heart. You see, that's why the Bible said men are without excuse. God put it in every man's heart to know there's a creator God. Everybody knows there's a God. You see? And I knew that. But I did not know God's name at that time, who is the true God, until I went to church when I heard about Jesus Christ. He is the God. And I got saved in 1988. But let me go on. Number 5, believe it in him, the easier escape. You believe in Jesus Christ, believe in the gospel, you can be saved. Should not perish. Number 6, the divine deliverance. Number 7, but have everlasting life, the priceless possession. You and I, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God would give us eternal life. And I want to encourage you, young people, anybody here, if you don't know for sure you're saved, Jesus Christ is the true God. I came from a Buddhist nation. As a teenager, I knew, I went that many times in my life. And when I was a little boy, I would go to the temple with my mom, and she would, when they do the ceremony, they would worship the monk and the statue for hours and hours. And I saw that as a young boy, and I, in my heart, said, that statue is not God. Even as a little boy, I knew that. But I seen that the Buddhist culture, Cambodia is a Buddhist nation. And for thousands of years, they bowed down to an idol, a statue that cannot talk, that cannot save, that cannot hear. And when I come into America, sometimes it breaks my heart. I see even Americans have opportunity to hear the gospel and they choose to believe in Buddhism. It just shocked me. I knew in my heart that's not God. But let me go on. The character of God. Number one, God loves. He loves. That's who he is. But at the same time, I remind you, as soul winner or preacher of the gospel, I know it's a lot of times people just like to talk about the love of God. And God is love. That his nature, his character. But God is also holy and righteous. And he hates wickedness. He hated when I sinned against him. He hated when I cursed God as a teenager. He hated when I gambled. He hated when I did wrong to my mom and stole her money to gamble. He hated that. God hates our sin. He hated the wickedness in this world. But I will say God do love the people in this world. He loved you and I. To this day, I'm still just amazed at God's love. You think about it. Think about what God saved you from. What God saved me from. You know, I'm not trying to be funny or anything like that. As a teenager, because I was bitter and angry, I either wanted to become a baseball player, a soldier, or a gangster. That was it. I kept my hair down to here. You thought I'm ugly now. I was really ugly back then, amen? No, I said beautiful, amen? No, I'm just kidding. But I kept my hair long. My teacher would ask me. All my teachers could not say my first name. They called me Keel. Keel, what you plan to be when you go to college? I said, Miss Dennis, I don't plan to be anything. I plan to die before the college. I told my teacher that. I was fascinated with guns. I wanted to be in a gang. That was it. But that's when God started working my heart. I was bitter, angry, dreamed about killing people, to be honest with you. I dreamed about killing people. But I'm thankful that God reached down to me and I found out that God loves me. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Just think about yourself, how wicked you are. I knew I was wicked. And sometimes, even now, I sin against God. You know, I don't get excited like I should reading my Bible. Amen. Okay. Sometimes we find, the smallest excuse to not do God's will. Sometimes I feel bad for my wife. My wife's an amazing, just patient person. And sometimes I don't listen to my wife like I should. Amen. I hate to admit that. Amen. All you men are really quiet. Okay. My wife is very patient. Woman just, I believe most women are just very patient, period, with us men. You guys have the gift. Sometimes I feel bad for my wife, I'll be honest with you. I just get up and go. Sometimes I'm not kind enough toward her. You know, this is not in the part of the message. This is just, sometimes I hear people, you got to apologize for being white, anything like that. And for me, of course, as people, we always need to ask God for forgiveness. The people we need to apologize to most is God, number one. And honestly, as men, our wives, the woman is like the second. I think about all the time I do my wife wrong. I'm not betraying my wife. I'm not saying stuff like that. Sometimes I don't fulfill my wife's needs like I should. Sometimes my wife is a person that I probably wrong the most. Now, I'm not saying I did anything to betray anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying sometimes I failed to honor my wife like I should, to, you know, just listen to her and be there for her all the time. I do believe that. We do need to ask God forgiveness just about every day. Because not every day we love God with all our heart. Amen? We don't love God with all our heart every hours of the day. We don't. And if we're not careful, friends, you and I can even complain about even the simple losing an hour. Oh, I hate to lose an hour to go to church. Friend, it's God. The God that loves you and I. The God that created us. The God that gave us everything. Did not hold anything back. He gave us everything. We breathe His air. We live, walk on His planet. We have ears to hear, eyes to see, legs to walk. He gave us the sun, the rain, everything. And sometimes, you and I not careful, we get mad at God over the littlest thing. Over the littlest thing. God's loves. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why I curse God, I disobey my mom, God sent His Son to die for me. Why I was in my sin, enjoy gambling, dreaming about killing people, Christ died for me. Amazing. But God commended His love toward us. He showed, He's proved His love toward us. We weren't even born yet. He sent His Son to die for us. He already knew how wicked we was. We were, I mean. He already knew what kind of people we are. But He loved us. God loves. Because He is love. 1 John 4:8-16. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Young people, you cannot love your parents that take care of you. You probably don't know God. For God is love. Because when I got saved, after I got saved, I realized, man, I love my mom now. I forgave her everything. I didn't care about she don't hug me. Even as a person in, when I started hugging my mom, she was shocked. When I started kissing my mom on the cheek, she was shocked. Because like I told you, in the Cambodian culture, my mom did not feel loved by her parents. Even our young people in Cambodia, some of our saved teenagers, we tell them, write a thank you letter, tell your parents how much you love them, how much you thank them for letting you come to church. And their parents were so shocked that the kids that did that to them, some of them start opening their heart to God. Think about Christ. God commended His love toward us when we were wicked, doing our own thing, betraying our parents, rebellious as a young person. I was rebellious, evil, wanted to join a gang, stole my mom's money. God loved me and He died for me. Think about that. And you as young people in America, trust me, I won't get into much, but you have it really good here in America. I know our country is changing. I realize that. But third world country, little girls are neglected. Kids are being sold to slave labor. Little girl being sold to sex work. It breaks my heart. Here in America, for the most part, there's, you know, a lot of things that happen in third world country. Most of the men would be thrown in jail. The dad, the uncle, that all of them. But it's just shove it under the rug. Little girls, young ladies, thousands of young ladies work in factories. They have to buy ID card to say they're at least 18, but most of them are 13, 14 years old. They work in factories that you see some of the clothes now from Cambodia, Vietnam, Bangladesh, India, China. But you know some of those factories, a lot of those factories in the world are underage young people that work in it. To let you guys know. But I don't blame the parents. Sometimes they're so poor. They force their daughter to work at 13, 14, even younger than that, work in factory, and they buy ID cards to say they're 18, 19 years old. In fact, they're 13, 14 years old. God loved them. God loved them. Verse 16 in 1 John 4, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And I want to remind you, friend, adults, young people, God loves. That's his character, his nature, he is love. But at the same time, I remind you, he's holy and righteous. He hated when we sin against him. He hated when we complain. He hated when we cannot be grateful toward our parents. He hated when we don't respect our authority like we should. As a young person, I was rebellious toward my mom and authority, honestly. Got in trouble several times in school, public school. But I thank God for his mercy. Let me go on. Number two, so number one, God loves. Because he is love, that's his nature, his character. Secondly, God loves the world. God did not wait for the world to turn to him before he loved the world. He loved and gave his only begotten son to the world when it was still the world. Well, God loves the world, not talking about the people in this world. Now, not talking about the world system, the world principle, the world philosophy. Everything in this world is anti-God. Is against God. Think about it. The world belief system is anti-God. It's unbelievable how wicked this world is. But God do love the people, friend. The unregenerated people in this world. The wicked people in this world. God do love them. He loved them. And I don't have a picture. I wish I would have prepared a picture. Remind you who are the people in this world. You know that there are 865 million unreached Muslim or followers of Islam in 3,330 people groups. If you and I are not careful, we say, those Muslims, I don't really care about them. Wish they'd die. I remind you, they are people that need God. They need the gospel. I thank God for missionaries that go to the Muslim community. We have one of our church plants is in the Muslim community. In fact, I almost got killed in 2012 because I started a church and I helped reach many Muslims. We have at least 10 families that are former Muslim in one of our village church. I thank God for them. There's, to be honest with you, people who are saved out of Islam, they are some of the best Christians in this world. They put people like me to shame, to be honest with you. Their faith in God. I think about Yah. She lost her husband, her land, families, everything because she chose to believe on Jesus Christ. And her husband said, you either denounce Christ, if you don't denounce Christ, I will leave you and you have nothing. She told her husband, you know what? As much as I love you, it's not God's will for me to divorce you, but I would never turn my back on Jesus Christ. And now, you know, because of her faith and love for God, all four of her sons are preacher or pastor. God bless her. You, even though she's been her husband divorced her over 10 years now, she's one of the most joyful person I know in Cambodia. to have grandkids. Just amazing. But God loved them. Let me tell you who else are the people in this world. The 550 million unreached Hindus in 1,600 subgroups. The 148 million unreached Chinese people in 445 groups. Well, there are 1.4 billion Chinese people in this world. 1.3 Indian people in this world. But 275 million unreached Buddhists in 900 people groups. These are the world that God loved. When I think about people groups, I did a research a couple months ago, and I would look up deep. I start praying for different people groups. There's over 17. They said in at least 16,000 people groups in this world that have their own ethnicity. Their own identity. I'm sorry. Sometimes I might have their own language, their own culture. But in America, there's over about 516 people groups. I often wonder, have every people groups in America been reached with the gospel? I mean, think about that. When you read, "For God so loved the world," I want to remind you, think about the people in the world. Think about every people groups in this world. Think about people that are not like you and me. They're different from us. And they need God. Yeah. They need the gospel. Just like you and I need God. Where would I be without God? I'd probably be dead or in prison. Deep into gambling. Just wicked. Let me tell you this. The unreached and unevangelized, 90% of the people living in the 1040 window are unreached and unevangelized. The 90%, they say, Joshua.net, the 1040 window in that red area. See, 90% of them are unreached and unevangelized. God loved the world. When I think about the world, it breaks my heart. I remind you, God does not just love Americans. He loved the world. Loved the world. The world meaning all people in this world. Doesn't matter if they're black, brown, Caucasian, yellow. I like what a preacher said the other day. I don't know where this, I asked one of my pastor friend, where did we start calling people white and black and yellow? I wonder about that. You guys wonder about that? You guys know, this is white. You think about that? This is white. And black people, they're not black. They're brown or light brown. I don't know about you. Sometimes that's bother me. Yellow. I don't look yellow to you. Am I yellow? Are we colorblind? This is yellow, right? That's why, to me, best is to call people people. Doesn't matter whether white, black, or Asian. That people need God. Just call them people. I start thinking about it, you know, the only time we need to identify people clearly is when they commit a crime and you need to find them. Oh, touch guy, he's Asian, black hair, amen? Need to find him. But besides that, we just need to call people people. There's only one race, the human race. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Seriously, I don't know where the term, a pastor trying to explain to me, he said it came from evolution or something, actually. Yes. Because you think about it. Evolutionists look down on the prejudice against dark-skinned people. And it's so wrong. It's so evil. I won't get into it, but there's so many hate culture in this world that hate dark-skinned people. I hated that. I hate it to the bone, I'll be honest with you. Even before I got saved, I am glad. And now my personality, I have friends from all nationality, and I love that. I have friends that are Korean, that are blacks, that are whites, Asian. In fact, I get along more with white and black than my own Cambodian people. My friends used to say, why are you hanging with Americans? Hey, if they're friends of me, I'm a friend of them. It doesn't bother me. We need to treat people like, to be honest, I've been thinking about this. Okay, I know I'm dwelling on this a little bit. We need to treat people when it come, like we treat food. You know what I mean? I heard some Americans, they'll go eat Chinese food. They don't mind eating Chinese food, but they mind Chinese people. I'm like, are you crazy? You eating their food? Okay, like me, I can eat soul food. Black man, I tell you, black people in the South, they can really cook. People are not prejudiced when it comes to food. You guys know what I mean? I bet a lot of you guys eat Chinese food. Am I right? But still, my favorite food is still American food, amen? From the South. Country fried steak from the South. The meatloaf, amen? I talk about food. Living. I just remind you, sometimes we need to, honestly, when it comes to food, people are not prejudiced. Think most people, in a way. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think America is a racist country. Not at all. Just a small percentage. I don't think America is a racist country at all. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it at all. But what I'm just saying, to be honest with you, if you want to know the truth, there's so many Asian culture that look down on dark-skinned people, and I hate that. But more importantly, friend, God hate that. God hate that. That's what the Bible tells us clearly. He didn't identify people by their color. The Bible just says God loved the world. He loved the world. And I hope you and I, we have a heart like God. Let me go on. He loved and gave his only begotten son to the world when it was still the world. The Jews of that day rarely thought that God loved the world. Many of them thought that God only loved Israel. The universe offered salvation and life in Jesus was revolutionary. As a mother loves her wayward no less than her worthy child, though the love be broken-hearted grief, so God loves the rebellious. I admire, especially women, you guys are a lot more patient with the kids. Sometimes my children, it's like, and I'm trying to be patient with one of them. It's like, I know he's an adult already. Sometimes I tell my wife, I just want to, if he's not careful, I want to just get rid of him. And my wife said, honey, don't do that. He is our son. Yeah, our son, I want to punch him in the face sometime. But my wife, just patient, still kind. And sometimes I want to punch him, but he don't listen to his mom sometimes. It's not he did something me wrong. He did his mom wrong. And my wife's still patient with him. I'm like, I want to choke him for you. But you think about God. Doesn't matter how wicked people are, rebellious, he still loved them. And women have that gift, some of that gift also. And then, well, woman love, not like great like God's love, but you got it pretty good. But let me go on. John 10:16, and other sheep have I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Romans 10:12-13, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Young people, adults, if you have never called upon Jesus to save you, I encourage you, don't put it off. I'm glad I accept Jesus as my Savior January 30, 1988, when I was 18 years old. I hate to say that sometimes, I reveal my age, amen? No, I don't mind. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering to usward. Think about it, friend. I'm glad, you know, one, he's long-suffering, he's patient. I'm glad God did not kill me when I cursed him, when I looked up at the sky and cursed him. God, long-suffering. I'm glad that God did not allow me to die when my bus from the refugee camp to Bangkok, taking the bus to take an airplane to the Philippines, to America, our bus almost fell off the cliff of the mountain. But God is long-suffering. Long-suffering. And there are times I was wicked. I thank God he was patient. But let me I'll tell you his third point, and I'll tell a few points up, down, and I'm done. Number one, God loves. Number two, God loves the world. Number three, God loves it with an affection so deep, self-effacing, self-sacrificing, as to give his only begotten son. You know, God did not hold back anything to save us. It showed his great love for us, and it showed his great sacrifice. But what about you, friends? You know, it breaks my heart when even my own home church, for the last several years, we have not seen anyone answer the call of God to go to the mission field. It breaks my heart. I'd be honest with you, in my opinion, there's too many Christians in this world, in America, that love the thing in this world too much, and they're not willing to go. And that's why the world is still not rich with the gospel. That's why you still have 3 to 4 billion people that have not heard the gospel one time. Get so many Christians that love their life too much. They won't not give it to God. They're living for self and standing for God. They're saved, but they're not willing. But with God, friend, he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ gave up everything to come down from heaven. Never heard a curse word in heaven. Never heard anybody calling him a bad name. Never seen murders. Never seen stealing. Never seen lying. But he came from heaven to become a man and live among sinful, wicked human beings so he could die for you and I. And sometimes when God asks us something and we were not willing to give it up because we love our life too much. You know, God used the apostle to turn the world upside down because they focus on the eternal, the things above. They were focused on the exalted Christ. That's why God used them to turn the world upside down. God cannot turn the world upside down now because we are not focused on Christ. We're focused on the thing in this world. So under God loves it with an affection so deep, self-sacrifice to give his only begotten son. I just share this. I'm not finished, but I'll just stop here. I'll just tell you the four things. What does John 3:16 reveal? It reveals the heart of God. It reveals his habit of sacrifice. So it reveals his heart, number one. B, it reveals his habit of sacrifice. C, it reveals his compassion for every soul. Jesus had compassion for everyone, friend. It's not for just the Jewish people. D, it reveals his desire to save all. To save all. That's what John 3:16 revealed. his heart, his compassion, his sacrifice, and his desire to save everyone. And I want to encourage you, if you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you never repented and believe on Jesus Christ, don't put it off. Tell the pastor, tell a leader, or let us know. We'll pray for you. The greatest decision I ever made was decisions to accept Jesus as my Savior. The best thing that ever happened to me was I got saved. Let us stand together and